Please be seated.
We are surrounded
by the love of God. It is a common story that we are too busy to be aware of what God is doing. And so I will invite us in, as we begin, a few moments of stillness as we settle into that reality of God's love and presence with us. So if you're comfortable to find a comfortable space to be, some stillness in your body, be aware of your breath. Close your eyes or leave them open as you wish. And simply rest with God. Rest in the silence. And as we do, to ever so gently check in with ourselves what is going on within us. What feelings are arising present in our own selves. God is with us. The burning sand shall become a pool, was in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah. And those are the kinds of words that strike us differently depending on how we are doing. If things are going pretty well, if you're feeling pretty stable, those words might just sail over and be just among the many other words that we engage with on a day like this. However, if you're someone who is aching, if you're someone who is hurting, if you're someone who is in some place of difficulty or a place of longing, those words can reach to the bottom of your soul and you feel like the sand that is aching to have water come and fill it. The words just following that were like springs rising up from the deep to come and flood the thirsty land. And there are moments in our life where we know exactly what that scripture is talking about. And we know exactly what it's like to hope for water to spring up when it has been a dry season, when it has been a season of waiting and brooding and longing. And oh my gosh, when will it end? It just keeps on going. And when will the dry land become a pool of water? When will this become something I can dive into and swim around in and splash in and have joy and have something else hold me up when I feel like I can hardly hold myself up? We know what the scriptures are talking about in those moments. We had a quiet day on Wednesday, and we spent some time with Psalm 42, which has some other words like this, where there's the fairly well-known line, you know, "Oh my soul, why are you so disquieted within me?" And it's another line that kind of reaches in, and some days we know exactly what it's like to have disquiet within our own selves, in ourselves, in our world, in our communities, in our relationships, we find ourselves resonating deeply with these kinds of words. They are words that speak of healing. They give us a before and after. There was one day I was like the dry and parched sand, and there was another day where miraculously I was like a pool, and I was full, and I was buoyant. We know people who have been jaded and hurt and have found themselves tender and patient. We know people who have had physical difficulties and have found themselves on the other side. Joanne stood up last week and said, "I was remembering the time when Lily had a hole in her heart, and then there was a time where she did not have a hole in her heart, and there was still a bit of one there, but we did not have to worry about it." I remember a couple years back, my sister had a tumor in her spine, and by the graces of surgery, she now no longer has a tumor in her spine, which is mind-blowing. We think of these before and after moments in our life that we know can happen. We can look at our lives and say, yes, I was angry and hurtful and lashing out, and now I'm not. That doesn't worry me. You know, I still know that happened, but the venom is no longer there, and I am able to walk in freedom. We're set up with this image of healing that we exist with. It's been pressed on me from a few different arenas recently, the value of paying attention to our feelings, which for guys is not something we often move into. And maybe for our society, it's not something that we typically spend much time with. But I feel like I've been hearing it from all different kind of corners of paying attention to what is going on within us. I'm not talking about moving into emotionality. I'm talking about when that feeling rushes through us to simply pay attention to it and notice it and to name it. What was that? There was some discomfort when that person said that to me, or when that happened. Or, you know, ever since that meeting on Tuesday, I've never felt quite together. What is that going on? And our feelings may be even only as a cue to something to pay attention to, that we catch them and we don't rush too fast by them. And some of us might need a sheet with a list of feelings that we might possibly have on them, because we don't actually know the names of the feelings that are going on within us. I really appreciate that the Psalms have lamentation, and they have grief. They have revenge. They have anger. They have all this richness of emotion that we read Sunday by Sunday and say to us, there is room in God's house for all kinds of emotions that we often don't let us get into. Brené Brown, I don't know if many of you know, she studied human connection, and she said, I heard her say recently, that the thing about emotions is that when we numb out one emotion, we end up numbing out all the other emotions, which is an interesting thought to consider. So if we numb out the more difficult emotions of anger and grief and fear, we end up numbing out the more delightful emotions of joy and pleasure and satisfaction. And that too, a kind of way of healing is that we let ourselves feel and actually acknowledge what's going on and maybe follow that through. I'm drawn to some of the contemplative ways and voices in our world. One is Richard Rohr, and he has a definition of contemplation that I think is really helpful for us to consider. His definition of contemplation is, and he uses his fingers when he says it, a long, loving look at the real. So a patient look, like James was talking about, that we actually give ourselves space, a loving look, that we don't come to ourselves with condemnation and judgment, because that's often where we go first. We experience something and we think, that's so terrible. How could I think that? Good people don't think that. And we shove it away. He says, no, a loving look. That's interesting. I didn't know that could come out of my psyche. I didn't know that could come out of my heart or my brain. I didn't know I could feel such anger towards someone I loved or something that happened. A long, loving look at the real. There is fruit and health in looking at what is actually going on. I really appreciate people who are able to look at our world and say something about what is really going on, and name it, not with fear or anxiety, but just say, this is happening and it cannot be. That is not okay. I really appreciate people who seem to be able to look at me without judgment or fear or anxiety and say what they see is going on. I've noticed you've done this a couple times. What's that about? That's not your usual way. What's going on? What's the deeper thing? We really value from that interaction in community, don't we? It's no good with the finger pointing or the challenge and the judgment, but to just notice and gently honor is good. And so it is the good way for us to come to these moments where we see ourselves, see what is going on in a real way. What is actually going on in our own heart, in our behavior patterns, in our relationships, in our families. And God doesn't come with judgment and condemnation. God comes with gentleness and says, do you know what? I knew about that already. And I've been wanting to talk to you about that for a while. I'm so glad you stopped long enough so we could have this conversation and walk this way together. We're in a season of Advent and a season of God with us. It's our central statement and revelation that God is not far away, but God is in our midst. And we reflect on the stable as a place where we come to know that God does not live, as Jesus says, in palaces with fine robes, but among the poor and with the frail and the tender, with infants. And so we come to the realization that what is new and perhaps threatening for us is not new or threatening to God. That God has entered the fullness of our humanity, the fullness of our weakness, and says, I'm here with you. You are not alone. You are beloved. I know everything you have done. Consider that I might still love you in that. Consider that you are still beloved, even in my full knowledge of what is going on. And we walk out from that meeting in a lot more strength and a lot more hope.